And now, Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements, right here on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome to Home on Long Island. I'm Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure. Today's show, we're going to be talking about the world of bathrooms. We've got our special guest, Ron Behnken, who, if you listened to last week's show, you would have heard Ron did a great job on kitchens. Matter of fact, he did such a great job last week that we kind of coerced him to come back this week to talk about bathrooms. He's quite an expert on both, and Ron happens to be a colleague of mine from Allure. He's our sales manager and kitchen and bath partner for me. And as always, we have our sidekick today, Seth Selesno. Seth, how you doing?
All right. Good morning, Sal.
How was your week?
Week was pretty good. Just getting ready for a big show this weekend.
Yes, this weekend there is a big show. Why don't you tell us about it, Seth? The big shoe?
The big shoe, the Brentwood Home Show down at the Suffolk Community College. We'll be down there. Actually, a great opportunity to come down and sign up. We're doing that $10,000 siding and windows makeover. So anyone can come on down to the show, visit the Allure booth, and sign up for that siding and windows makeover.
Did you mention makeover? I'm going to have to bring something up with makeover. But going back to the show, so it's at the Suffolk County Community College Brentwood campus.
Suffolk Community College. It actually started yesterday. Goes all day today till I think 9 or 10 o'clock, and then again tomorrow, Sunday, from 10 to 6.
10 to 6 tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay, well, we're kind of, we'll be there. Allure's there. We have a pretty big booth, as always.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll have a full presence there, all our displays, whether you're looking for siding, roofing, windows, kitchens, baths, sunrooms, you name it. We'll have it all there.
Okay, so we'll have all our stuff there. We're going to have the energy stuff there with the...
Oh, yeah, we'll have our home performance display, all that.
All right, that's great. Hubie will be there. Hubie's been at our, he's been on the show before. We did a great show on energy remediation and doing home energy assessments, and he's a great guy to visit at the show. If you just want to get some information, he's great for stuff like that. All right, and what other kind of stuff is at the show?
Anything you can think of related to the home, whether landscaping, pools, gardening, remodeling. They even got sheets for the bed if you need some specials on queen and king size bed sheets.
All right, good. Sounds like some future topics for our show here.
Oh yeah.
Now you mentioned makeover before, so I want to just kind of bring up if everybody saw last week's news day. I think it was on Tuesday. Turns out ABC's coming to town. They're looking for a family. Extreme Makeover Home Edition's looking for a family on Long Island to come and do an extreme makeover. So you have that website?
I do not.
Okay, we're going to have to get you that website. Well, there's a website, and I will see if I can get the website before the end of the show. But in the meantime, I saw the news day. I understand it's in Long Island Press as well.
Long Island Press has it covered as well. The website is actually ABC's website. You go to Extreme Makeover. What we need to get everyone is the email address. There's an email address they set up where people can actually send their applications if they want to nominate somebody. They created an email just for Long Island. So we will get that to everybody.
Yeah, I think it was Extreme Makeover Home Edition, longisland@gmail.com, something like that. We'll get it out to you. But in any event, they're letting people know if they're looking to come back to Long Island, they're looking in the area to help change someone's life. And if you've seen the show, it's on Sunday nights, ABC, 8 o'clock. Each and every week, they take someone's home and they rebuild it and basically make a difference in someone's life through their home. And it's appropriate for us because two things. Number one, our show is about the home, Home on Long Island. It's about the home. It's about everything about, you know, the backyard, the inside, so on. But also, Allure Home Improvements has done 7 episodes. We've done, Long Island. We did John Vitale out in St. James. We've done episodes up in Westchester and Queens, and we've even gone down to New Orleans and did an episode for Hurricane Katrina victims, a church and a house for some firefighters. So it's good to hear that they're coming to Long Island and helping them, looking to make a difference. And obviously, you know, if you're interested in helping nominate a family, even before you get the email address, go to Extreme Makeover, go to abc.com.
Actually, I do have the email address for you.
You do.
It's castlongisland@gmail.com. castlongisland@gmail.com. Family should email a short description of their story to that address. And you can nominate, you know, whether it's yourself or another family that you think is deserving of a makeover.
That's good. I knew you'd come up with that email address before we were done. Okay, so talking about makeovers, how about Nassau County with the Lighthouse Project? Did you see Gary Bettman?
Gary Bettman was quoted in news the other day, and he's actually ripping the town a little bit, saying the town's getting in the way. Now they're talking about Queens. He appears to have ruled out Brooklyn, but Queens seems to be in the mix right now for a little future Islander home. What's up with that?
Okay, let me just say two things. I think the Islanders and the organization and Charles Wong and the whole group there are entitled to be supportive for the development they want to do. And I think we should all be behind that development. I said it last week's show. We need this. It's going to help Long Island, not only now, but for years to come. I also think Gary Bettman needs to kind of focus on his thing and not worry about, you know, how long on the construction. You know, him coming out and saying that, I think, just puts a little pressure and maybe, you know, tweaks Kate Murray just a little bit to maybe make things a little tougher.
You know, I'm not a big Bettman fan myself, but he does have to look out for the interests of the league. And, you know, right now they need to figure something out for the team. He's got something at stake here. It is your only professional sports team on Long Island. You know, he's got an interest there. Well, he's got to look out for.
I think you got to be careful. The fans are on Long Island. I think it's a little tough. Hey, the Mets can't fill City Field over there, Queens. All right, so anything else? Olympics, did you think about that tragedy at the Olympics?
That was a shame. I don't even know what to say.
You know what? I think these Olympics, you know, there's a couple of articles I've read. Canada's not doing so great between the weather and not having enough snow and postponing some of the events and this tragic death. I mean, that's just, it's sad. It's totally sad. Yeah. Well, you know what? We just, you know, we've got another week to go, and we hope that you know, United States can keep going on, winning some medals, and we want to be the medal leader. I think we're right up there with Germany, and, you know.
I think we can pull an upset and take it in hockey.
I think we could. So, any good movies this week? I just got to tell you, there's one movie, and I know you're going to laugh at me, but I keep seeing the coming attractions, and I don't know. I want to see Dear John. Is there a problem because I want to see Dear John?
No.
I mean, everybody tell
it's right up your alley.
I figured I'd have some fun with you. It's a sarcastic. This girl who's just so totally just a total amazing love affair, and she's got this sarcastic side to her, and he's just this wonderful guy. So
I
think,
can't handle sarcasm.
I would be the guy in that.
Not my kind of movie.
Yeah, I'd be the guy in that movie, and you'd be the girl. So that's why I want to see Dear John. Okay,
you go together.
Yeah, because you would be the girl. So anyway, we have Ron Behnken on today, and as always, Seti Selesno sitting next to me. If you want to give us a call, any questions, talk about the show, that's 631-292-9108. And as always, you can go to WHLI.com, click on Home on Long Island, and just send us some info. Okay.
Send us your questions, comments, thoughts.
Yep. And there's always www.allure.com for any information you hear on the show you want to learn more about, and anything else on construction.
Send us some ideas. Tell us what you want to hear us talk about on the show.
So we are now going to go to our email question of the week. And this has been great because after each show, we tell you to give us a call or send us an email with some of your questions. And it's been great because it's been about the show that we just previously did. And last week, if you remember, we did a show on kitchens. And Ron, who was on the show, talked about you know, some energy green-type products in the kitchen being bamboo. So we got a question, Sam from Comac. Sam says, I am all for energy conservation and the green movement. On last week's show, you talked about bamboo cabinets. What else can I do in my kitchen to be green? That's a great question. Great follow-up to last week. Well, number one, anytime we talk about green, we also want to talk about you know, money. We want to make sure that these are things that are within budget. There are a lot of green products that are expensive. You know, I'm not going to tell you, well, let's go do a full solar roof system on your home because it's going to be very expensive. It's something that you need to put a lot of time and thought to. But when doing a kitchen, there's a couple of quick things you can do. From the countertop, using something called Eco Countertops by Consento, and they're not the only company that does them. Other companies will do something like that. It's recycled materials. Materials that are recycled, and they pass as green materials. Energy Star appliances. We talked about that on a number of shows. Any appliances you buy, make sure they have an Energy Star rating. And the lighting. You can put LED lighting under the cabinets. You could put CFL, which are compact fluorescent lights, and they make a big difference. And you know what? You can go to LIPA's website to learn more about the effects CFLs have. So hopefully we answered your question, Sam, and you can go to our website if you want more information, and we'll see you next time, all right? All right, we're going to take a break right now here on 1100 WHLI, and we will be back with Ron Behnken talking about bathrooms.
Home on Long Island.
We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. Today we have our guest, Ron Behnken. We're going to bring him on right now, but I do have to point out, I am not going to see Dear John with Seth. That was just to talk about his sarcasm and his ways, but there's no chance I'm going with you, Seth. Just
all
saying.
Right. I'll make other plans.
Okay. I may go, but not with you. I'll take my daughter.
Thank you.
But today we have Ron Behnken. So, hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to the show. We appreciate you coming back, and you're coming back for one reason. You did a great job last week.
Well, thank you, Sal. I enjoyed it a lot. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we had a lot of great calls and emails about the information you gave, and actually I don't know. We could be a regular because you're so good with this stuff. Do me a favor. We're going to get into bathrooms. Tell me about you a little bit and how you got into bathrooms and where you got your experience.
Well, actually, Sal, my background is very much about bathrooms, more so than even kitchens. I started at the bottom of this industry and worked for plumbing supply houses and really learned it from the bottom up, from plumbing parts to faucet parts and plumbing fixtures and so on to some electrical work, and then getting into sales and design and so on and working my way up in the industry. And I think that worked very well for me because I do know it from the ground up, and I have a pretty good understanding of the nuts and bolts and the fundamentals of it. And it helps a lot now.
That's a good construction term, from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So we talk about homes, you build them from the ground up. So very appropriate. So we're in bathrooms. You've got a great experience in it, as you showed us last week with kitchens. The first question I asked you last week is, you know, where do you get started? Where do you get started with a bathroom?
It's very much the same, as a matter of fact. Kitchens and baths, in that respect, are very much the same. You still need... You go through the process of measuring and checking and physically understanding what you're working with in the home, and then about the client, you need to understand what their wants and needs are, just like it is with a kitchen. So we go through that same exact process. Of course, the answers are different and the questions are different. And then from there, we get into design, moving fixtures around, moving walls around, trying to fit everything that the people are looking for into the space, and then product selection. So boring, but very much like it, like we said last week.
Well, boring to you because you do it all the time. Exciting to somebody else. You mentioned wants and needs. I know we talked about it last week, but I think it's important to point it out again. You know, there are wants and there are needs. There are certain things people need. They need a toilet. They need a tub or a shower. But wants, you know, they don't need full tile all over the bathroom. That's something they may want, and I think that's a very important thing for people to understand. The needs are kind of predetermined. These are things you need to have based on your lifestyle or... They're just automatics, and those wants are those things that really turn it into your bathroom, your special place. And, you know, last week we also talked about budgeting. It's the same thing. You know, wants are going to really play a big determination on where the budget is. How important is budget ahead of time with bathrooms?
Very much so. You know, in bathrooms, there is a little bit of a difference, and then some people come in strictly because of the need. The bathroom is leaking, or it just looks so horrible, and it's an embarrassment, and they have to remodel it. And then other people come in because they want to retreat. They want to build a room in their house that could just kind of get away and sit in a tub and soak and relax, and so it's a totally different reason for getting involved in doing the project. So we approach that very differently. And typically people are looking to build that retreat, really want to see what they can do and what we can put in there. And we don't start at budget. We kind of start at what their wants and needs are and kind of let them know what it is. And
I like the way you point out the retreat. And it's a necessity of bathroom. Obviously, we all know that. You have to have it. For some people, it is a retreat, you know, between the steam showers and all the great extras you can have. Me personally, and you did design my bathroom, so... Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
Sure.
It's been a retreat, and it's definitely a part of the home that we paid a lot of attention to in my home. And I remember when we got started, we sat down. I'm in the industry, and I know kitchen and bathrooms, and I'm a certified kitchen designer, so it's not as if I'm not familiar with the world. But I did, you know, okay, Ron, let's talk about it, because there were so many new things that that come up each and every day, and then there's an approach you take. And I remember one of the first things we did, we talked about, you know, what fixtures do you want? And the fixtures are the, you know, the toilet, the tub, the sink.
The plumbing
fixtures. And between that and a tile, it was a real, you know, where do we go first? Do we choose our tile? We choose our fixture? And what are some of the things with fixtures that are new today? So can you kind of shed a little light on that?
Yeah, the tile and the color of the fixtures work hand in hand, of course. The type of fixtures don't. So very often we'll talk about the specific fixtures and features and benefits and what's right to use in the space. And then when it comes to color, typically I like to start with the fixture color before tile, and mainly because there are very limited fixture colors, the toilets, the tubs, the sinks, and so on. So it's a lot easier to pick that and then go to tile where there's thousands of tiles, and you can always find a tile that you like that'll work with a fixture color. But if you back into it, if you pick out a tile that you absolutely are in love with and then go to the fixtures and there's just a handful of colors to pick from and you can't find one, then you constantly go through that cycle, and it's very, very hard to come to a conclusion on that. So I would say pick your fixture color and then go to tile. And then, of course, with cabinetry, cabinetry is a big part of it. Countertops are a big part of it. But there, again, there are a lot of different colors, a lot of different wood stains and paints and colors and countertop materials that you can choose from. So the most limiting is a plumbing fixtures. That's a good place to start with color and then work out from there.
So everything plays off the plumbing fixture?
Most of the time.
Most of the time, because that's where the limited amount of colors are. And I do understand there's thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of tiles. And
that's right.
If someone falls in love with a tile, they've seen a tile, they fall in love with it, I mean, it's a good chance you could pick the tile first and just find the fixture that best matches it.
Absolutely. We're not always 100% in control of it. We've had, you know, situations where people already saw a tile that they like somewhere, or saw something in a magazine that they like and they want to replicate. So you have to work from wherever the customer is most comfortable. But if we had to choose, we'd try to start with the plumbing fixture color. But, yeah, just like with kitchens, every time you look at every situation and you work from it the best that you can. There's no 100% rule that you start with this and end with that.
Okay. Plumbing fixtures. Energy conservation, 1.6-gallon flush. Are they as good today as the toilets of yesterday?
Yesterday, maybe a couple of days ago, not so much. you know, the truth of the matter is, if you really want to know the history of it, it started out at over seven gallons per minute, and then went to 5.5 gallons per minute. Then it went to 3.5 gallons per minute, and now it's down to 3.5 gallons. And there's a lot of toilets now that are it went to 3.5, and from there it went to 1.6. And a lot of toilets now that are actually half of that, or what they call dual flush toilets, that sometimes flush 1.6 and sometimes flush 0.8. So it's a lot less water than in the past. And honestly, no matter what you do, you're not going to have the pressure that you did out of a 5-gallon toilet. But they have come quite a long way. You have to be careful. Unfortunately, they can't change the flushing mechanism on a toilet like we snap our fingers, in that it takes years for them to update all the flushing systems. So typically, the newer styles are going to have the best flushing systems.
Okay.
And the oldest styles that have been around for a while are still going to have the oldest systems.
I think the newer systems, they're great, because we're always talking green, we're always talking conservation. I just wish my kids would really get with the program and understand that you can't put a whole roll in the toilet at once, that you've got actually a little at a time. And I do think that people make up for the 1.6-gallon flush with doing it three flushes, but that's another story.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. There's something that we do also in designing rooms, that we try not to relocate toilets too far away from the main stack, things like that, where we can control it. Because sometimes if you design in a way that there's not enough pitch on the plumbing, then you're going to have more problems later on because it's less water. So you've got to take that into consideration with the design of the space as well, especially when you're not talking about new construction, when it's remodeling and you're limited in what you can do.
That's a great point. Okay, so what's hot with tile? We've got the fixtures. What's hot with tile?
What's hot with tile is scary, to be perfectly honest with you. What's hot with tile, very much so, is a very contemporary look and feel, what's called a large format tile, which typically are very large tiles, and what's called rectified. And rectified just means it's a very square, very sharp edge on a tile. And unfortunately, it's not a tile that we like to use, and we get more and more calls for it because tile manufacturers are putting it out there. Most tile manufacturers are from Italy and from Spain, and they sell to the whole world, and they sell in Europe, where the installation process and the building construction methods are very different. And trying to install that on sheetrock and wood just doesn't work out the same way, and a lot of people are very disappointed. So if I can put it out there to people, please be careful installing large format rectified tiles in the United States with our construction methods, because it's not going to give you the look and feel that the magazines do.
Yeah.
With that said, that is the trend, the contemporary, the large format, that we're seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, you know, and we don't have the ability to control, especially in remodeling, to control all the variables that exist. And, you know, I think that there are ways to make it better, you know, a mud job as opposed to installing tile on plywood or some other substrate. You know, doing a mud job, we have the ability to level the floor out and really prepare the surface as best as possible. But we're still dealing with existing homes and existing slopes and variables that we can't control all the time.
That's a great point, Sal, because we could do a mud job on a floor, which gives us that solid, flat, perfect foundation to put a tile on. We can control it. But on the walls, we can't, whereas in Europe, that's what they do. They practically mud the walls, where here we can't. We're dealing with sheetrock. We're dealing with wood. There's expansion, contraction, and walls are not perfectly straight from when the houses are built. it's not the same in Europe. And in Europe, they can't control it.
Yeah, and we use, you know, using gypsum board on existing construction, different ballgame. All right, so, you know, appreciate the talk on the tile. I think we can spend a whole show on tile, sure. I'm sure. Grout, okay? I know that that's probably one of the areas that people have the most concern with. It's the area that I know service calls and warranty. Grout is something that takes the most abuse. Tell me the difference from floor grout, wall grout. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, Sal, the difference between the two is one is sanded, one is not sanded. And the grouts are much better than they used to be in the past. The additives that are already in the grouts, and the better quality grouts, just much, much better. And one of the options is to seal the grout. What you want to do is let it completely dry and cure before you do that. So you don't want to do it right away. You want wait a couple of months after the bathroom is done, make sure it's nice and clean and dry, and then seal it.
That's the key, sealing the grout. All right, thanks, Ron. We're going to take a commercial break right here in 1100 WHLI. We'll be back in a minute.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Ferro, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. I'm here at my guest, Ron Behnken, kitchen and bath designer and sales manager for Allure Home Improvements, actually Allure Designs, and my partner. I also have our sidekick, our trusty sidekick today, Seth Selesno.
Hello,
as we give him a nickname, Setty. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Sal.
Yeah,
hi,
Seth's
Ron.
Back.
Hey, Setty.
Just want to let you know, Seth, we got to do something. This light burnt out above my head, so I guess my light on Broadway's done. We need some light in this room.
I think you're just so hot, you burnt out all the electricity in there. So.
I wish. Anyway, we're talking about bathrooms, and Ronnie's doing a great job. If you'd like to call in with a question, it's 631-292-9108, 631-292-9018. And, of course, you can go to WHLI.com, click on Home on Long Island, and right in there we'll give you an opportunity to send an email out to us with any questions or comments. And, as always, Allure.com for any additional information on construction. So, Ron, we're back talking about bathrooms, and we covered fixtures. We talked a little bit about tile. One of the biggest questions I get is shower doors. Number one, shower doors, shower curtains, would it be frameless, not frame, tracks? Talk to us a little bit about shower doors.
Well, that's kind of a general subject.
I know. Well, you know, what's the difference between a frameless shower door and a framed?
Well, a frame shower door is grandma's shower door. It has a metal frame all the way around it, and that's what most people are very familiar with in their older bathrooms. But nowadays, you try to get as much of an open, clean look in the bathroom. So we try to do away with the metal around it as much as possible. Now, there are some issues and some things to watch out for. A frameless shower door has very, very little metal around it, typically just metal hinges, no headers, no bottom tracks, no side jams. So it's mostly clear glass. So you can look through it and it's almost invisible. They're beautiful, and that's what most people like. You do have to kind of watch out because there's no metal around it, it's very easy for water to escape. And a basic function of a shower door is to keep the water inside the shower, not outside the shower. So those of you out there...
That's what you try to do when you have kids and water's flying all over the place. It doesn't always work.
Or other reasons. But what happens is when you don't have that frame, some of the water will escape through the hinges because you don't have any overlaps with the metal. Some of the water will get out. So you'll see some water pooling around on the outside very, very often on the frameless doors. And you have to expect that. And if you don't expect that, if that's not acceptable, stay away from them. They're much more expensive. They're absolutely beautiful. And they don't hold all the water inside the shower. Semi-frameless is somewhere in between. It's got less metal than the old shower doors, and yet it keeps all the water inside the shower. So that's usually a good...
Kind of a nice compromise between the two.
It's a happy place.
Yeah, so frame shower doors you're going to use if you are doing a lot of body sprays, and you can get into all of that stuff, but frameless you want to stay away from if you're going to really have all that water flying all over the place and... kids in the shower and body sprays and handhelds and stuff like that.
That's exactly the case, Sal, but unfortunately, the body sprays and frameless go hand in hand because they're both higher-end applications. In a higher-end bathroom, most people want a frameless shower door because it's so beautiful, and most people in those same applications want body sprays. So it's really very important to pay attention to the direction of the body sprays and make sure it doesn't hit into a hinge or where a door overlaps another panel. Where water can escape. So you got to design it very carefully.
You explain this ahead of time because you're right. You know, the higher-end tastes do take the frameless in addition to all the extra water features. Do you explain to them that There's an issue there?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And most people in the higher-end applications still want it, and they understand, and they'll deal with it.
Yeah. Now, about the glass in the shower doors, is there a specific special glass because it's in a place where if it broke, somebody can get hurt?
It has to be a safety glass, and there's two forms of safety glass. There's tempered glass and there's laminated glass. A laminated glass is like a windshield, and okay. You'll find that on the frame shower doors. A lot of times they'll use a laminated glass where if something hits it and it breaks, it stays together because it has...
Okay. Like a windshield would.
Whereas tempered glass is more like the side window of your car. If it breaks, it shatters into tiny little pieces, so you don't have big shards of glass that can hit someone and hurt them.
But a big mess to clean up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. We talked about faucets a minute ago. All right. Body sprays. You know, there's the people ask me, can I have the water come from the ceiling, from a ceiling-mounted what's the most popular stuff? What are people doing, not only in basic traditional installations, but in the more custom-minded installations?
Well, what's exciting that we're seeing a lot of is the body sprays, and there's a ton of different applications of body sprays and custom showering systems. But what's interesting is that people are moving away from Whirlpool tubs and bubble bathtubs and that sort of thing, because most people don't bathe often. You know, they don't use the tub, so it's nice to have, but they don't use it as much, whereas you shower every day, hopefully.
Seth?
Yes, every day, so.
Okay.
And when you do, and you have a good showering system with body sprays and so on, it's a much better experience. And once you've had a great shower in your home, you don't want to go back to a traditional single shower head anymore. So it is a very nice thing to have, and you take advantage of it.
Definitely a popular trend is converting tubs into showers where there's more room and, shower rooms. I see some of these new homes or some of these custom master baths that we do, and the showers are just, they're enormous. They're filled with all the bells and whistles. Steam units, how popular are steam units?
Steam units are still very popular, have been for quite a while. So if you have the time to put into it, it's great to put in. Any shower just about can be converted into a steam shower.
Does take a little beating on the grout and the tile of steam.
It does, absolutely. You got to stay on top of it, maybe squeegee it after the end of the shower so that the moisture doesn't stay on there.
I'm called the squeegee king, just so you know.
I know.
Okay, I don't take a shower without squeegeeing everything, but then again, that's me. I'm in construction, and I don't want to have to redo it.
He squeegees the water right out of his hair.
Very good, Seti. Cabinets. We mentioned cabinets before. What does that fall in line with? We've picked our fixtures and our tile. Cabinets, one of the things we pick last?
Yeah, the great majority of cabinetry, even in the bathroom, is wood. And we're using a lot of maples and cherries and the same type of thing that you'd see in kitchen cabinetry. Very, very popular. But because those are so neutral, you can usually make that work with most colors, most tiles. We can find a wood grain that'll go. In a more contemporary bathrooms, just like in the kitchens, there's the thermofoils and the acrylics and so on.
And does the bath cabinet normally match the vanity of the medicine cabinet? Do you always have a medicine cabinet? What are we doing there?
You don't always have a medicine cabinet, and again, in the higher-end bathrooms, a lot of times there's so much storage, linen cabinets and so on, that it's not so important, so some mirror work a lot of times is done. But very often, most often, there's some sort of a wood frame, wood trim around the medicine cabinets. Which matches the cabinetry below, exactly. Because remember, Long Island is still a traditional market, and we still do a lot of the more traditional things, so wood is very popular. And then you want it to tie together. You don't want to have a plain mirror that looks contemporary up on a wall and a wood vanity below that looks very traditional. So it's a good way to tie things together.
Okay, so now you're talking about mirrors. We talked about shower doors. We talked about squeegeeing. Bathroom takes, of all the rooms in a house, the bathroom takes the biggest abuse.
Yes.
Because it's used the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kitchen's used a lot also, but bathroom's used the most. Bathroom has the water, constant humidity, constant opportunity for mold and mildew, and if not maintained properly, your bathroom's not going to last as long. And one of the most important features you can to really maintain a bathroom longer is air movement.
Correct.
Remove the air, remove the humidity, remove the moisture. And obviously that's done through an exhaust system. Why don't you share with us what's most popular, what's hot and exciting exhaust, if we can be excited about exhaust.
Well, I can tell you that most of the time, traditional exhaust fans or exhaust fans with lights are still the most popular, and we do a lot of those. In your higher-end applications or the larger bathrooms, a lot of times we'll use inline exhaust fans where the motors are much larger and higher CFMs, cubic feet per minute, of air movement. And those are mounted remotely so that you don't hear the loud noise, and it actually sucks the air out of the bathroom. And a little vents in the ceiling, one, two, three of them in a bathroom to pull the air out.
I think those are great. And I use that at my house. One unit can serve three bathrooms, and some of them may to serve more bathrooms, mm-hmm. depending upon the size. But you don't know it's on. So you flick that switch, and one key thing, and I'll give you my energy tip. I'll give you another one later, but an energy tip now. That should be on a timer.
Right.
Let that be on a timer, a 30, 15-minute timer that you can make your choice. If it's just 15 minutes you need, great. 30 minutes when you're taking a shower, give it time to start getting airflow, focused on, you know, getting that air movement going. And as it pulls the air out, it will change the air in the room. It will do so much to help preserve the tile, the grout, everything else. But having the remote fan, you don't know when it goes on, and it's great. You need one fan for a couple of different bathrooms. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to hear that noise, and then after a while they rattle. But it's a little more money, right?
It's a little bit more expensive, and it also doesn't apply in every case. In other words, if you have a colonial and a bathroom is on the first floor, and this is not new construction, then ducting has to be done through the second floor up into the attic. So in some applications, it's just not practical. Everything is doable if money is no object and space and so on, but not very practical for some applications.
Yeah, that's great. All right, good. I mean, we did do an energy tip early, but we'll do another one later. Here, the phones are lighting up, Ron, so we have some questions for you. Great. So we're going to take a question right now. Frank, you're on the air. Frank from Lindenhurst, right?
Hi, yes. I had a little question for you. What's the difference between a jacuzzi and an air jet tub, and which one do you recommend?
All right, well, we're going to let Ron answer that, but I just want to tell you, Lindenhurst was my hometown. Graduated there from Lindenhurst High School. Well, I'm not going to tell you the year, but it was a long time ago. But anyway, Ron, that's a great question. What is the difference?
Good question, Frank. Well, first of all, let me just say that a jacuzzi is a brand name. It's also used as a generic name. But you're referring to a whirlpool tub versus an air jet, also known as a bubble bath. There are quite a few differences, but the main difference is that a whirlpool tub is a mixture of air and water, so it creates a lot of pressure, and it gives you a massage. So when you're sitting in a whirlpool tub, those jets are actually putting pressure on your body and massaging your body, whereas the air jet system has no water in there. It's just air. So you're certainly not going to feel anywhere near as much action, as much massaging. It's really just a tingling, bubbling effect. The water has got a lot of action in the water. If you put bubble bath in there, it'll make a lot more bubbles. But it doesn't give you that same experience. In my opinion, I'd rather in my own bathroom, I'd rather have a whirlpool tub because that's what I want it for. But, you know, a good example would be in my own home, I put a whirlpool tub in my bathroom, but in my daughter's bathroom, I put in a bubble bath.
Yeah, the bubble. So yeah. We did in my home as well.
The other part of it is that there is a concern that there might be some bacteria growth within a whirlpool system. Now, that doesn't have to be. With proper maintenance, regular maintenance, and cleaning, running clean water through it every once in a while, it shouldn't be a problem. But if you are concerned about that, a bubble bath doesn't hold any of the water, any of the soap or chemicals and so on inside the jets. So you don't have to worry about that happening. And especially with little girls, it's a safer bet. So my recommendation is if it's for you and you're looking to get good massage action out of it, whirlpool is the only way to go. And a bubble bath is nice for kids. It's nice, you know, just for effect, but it's not going to give you the massage.
Yeah, and I agree with you in terms of, you know, hygiene. The bubble bath is going to be the most easy to maintain. The water doesn't sit. And you always got to be concerned when water's sitting and the tubes and the plumbing of a whirlpool. There's always that chance, and that's why you have to maintain them. You know, it'd be nice if you shared that. I do think when I think of whirlpools and I think of, you know, baths like that, I think of the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murray.
Eddie Murphy.
I mean.
Yeah.
That was one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen. But what's the best way to maintain them?
Because I don't know what scene you mean. I'm not going to repeat.
Those who watch the movie will know. but what's the best way to maintain them? Because that's a concern. You said bacteria can build up.
You know, the best way to do it is every week or so, just fill the tub past the jets with cold water, put some clear vinegar in there, and just run it through the jets for a minute or two, and then let it drain out. That's really all you need to do. And when you're going with a whirlpool tub, it is very important that you go with a name brand and a good quality whirlpool. This is not a place to skimp because a good manufacturer makes sure that it's a self-draining system, that everything is pitched the right way so that the water runs out completely and there's no bacteria built in there.
A Kohler a good brand name?
Kohler's a wonderful brand name. There's a lot of good companies out there. It's probably my favorite Kohler, but there are quite a few good companies. If you don't recognize the name where it comes to Whirlpool, stay away from it.
And definitely rely on the professional.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take another commercial break here on 1100 WHLI. We'll be right back.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Ferro, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back to Home on Long Island. I'm Sal Ferro, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. With me today, I have our trusty sidekick and fellow marketing engineer, Seth Selesno, and our guest and expert today, Ron Mencken. Ron, again, thanks for being on the show. And if you want to be heard on the show, give us a call at 631-292-9108. We'll go to WHLI.com, click on Home on Long Island, or you can always go to allure.com. Check out all the great stuff we have on that. We have another call, Ron. You ready to answer another question?
All set, Sal.
All right, great. All right, we have Karen on the phone. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Sal. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you very much. Where are you from?
I'm actually from Oyster Bay, and my question is, I have an 88-year-old father-in-law, and he's going to be moving in with us. And my husband and I were considering putting in one of those walk-in tubs. What do you think about those?
Well, that's a great question. Ron, why don't you help us with that?
I love that. Love that question, Karen. Actually, it's probably one of the most exciting things that's happened to our industry in quite a long time. And my direct answer to you is I think it's a great way to go in a situation like yours, because it will be convenient and I'm sure it will be very helpful to him, and I think you will enjoy it as well. It's one of those things where you do it for function, and then most people find out later on that they love it themselves. You know, we're selling these things. We thought it would just be handicap accessibility and for elderly people. But what we're finding is that a lot of people are using these tubs now because it allows you to get a regular standard size tub in a 5-foot space, but almost use it like a hot tub because you can completely immerse yourself in water and you can have a whirlpool experience with, you know, 8 or 10 or 12 jets around you surrounding one person. And like in a hot tub, except with more jets around you.
Really?
And with fresh water without having chemicals and so on in there because it's in your bathroom.
These are really watertight, Ron. There's no issue with water leaking out.
Yeah, there was issues in the beginning when they first came out. In the first few years of them, they battled with it a little bit. But over the years, they've developed some really good systems now, and we haven't had them seeing any issues with them.
Like anything, technology takes over and things are built better, and that's great. But doesn't this kind of lead into the whole universal design thing?
You know, that universal design thing, it came out like gangbusters a few years ago, and every manufacturer came out with a universal design line, and it just kind of dissipated. But what's interesting is that some of the more important, some of the better things are coming back in now and are really sticking. Like, this is definitely a big part of it. The toilets have gotten higher.
Well, obviously, the leading baby boomers are up there, and, I mean, I'm at the bottom edge of the baby boomers. That's a huge population, and we're at a point where that leading edge, they need that, and all the ADA requirements. I remember universal design, which is, it's another way of talking about how to design bathrooms for use for everybody, people who have limitations. And, you know, we don't like to use the word handicap. It's because there are limitations as you get older, and that's where grab bars come in, special types of countertop edges. And I think it would be a great opportunity to do another show on universal design. Is that something I can convince you to come back for?
Oh, boy, would I love to do that. It is so interesting, and I think you hit it right on the head, Sal, that universal design is about everybody. It's not just about handicapped people, or it's like what I said before. If a toilet is a little higher, it's more comfortable for everyone. It doesn't It doesn't have to feel or look odd. Same thing with these tubs. So, yeah, and it's really just grabbing hold now.
And I think people are concerned with universal design that it just means they got to spend a lot more money. And the fact is, if you, during the renovation, take into consideration some universal design ideas, it's a lot less expensive to do. And many people do like the higher toilet, grab bars in a shower, you know, light fixtures and knobs that are easy to grab hold of. These are things that don't cost a lot of money, but they can make a big difference as you get older or you have limitations from whatever reason. So.
Right. Most of these things don't cost any more money. You're right, Sal. But then there are certain things, like these tubs. These tubs happen to be very expensive. Now, I do think you get a lot for your money, but they are much more expensive than regular tubs. That's something to take into consideration. So it's a big investment, but if everybody can use the tub, yeah. and you can, you know, and you don't have to build a whole other bathroom, then
that's
there's
great.
A savings there, too.
Well, how do you compare, or maybe I'm kind of off on a different tangent, people think about remodeling their bathroom, and I think it's a great way to end the show. People think about remodeling their bathroom, and there's a lot of advertisement out there for, you know, bathroom remodeling. We have our five-day bath program. It's a wonderful program that you and I designed. You put a ton of work in creating the you know, the systems and processes around going into a home and converting a bathroom professionally, beautiful quality Kohler products in 5 days. But we hear about the one-day bathrooms out there. I think they're called tub liners. How do you compare that to a regular bathroom?
I guess I would compare it the same as you would compare a refaced kitchen with a new kitchen. It's not a whole bathroom. It's it's not a one-day bathroom. It's covering the old tub with a new tub. So if you have a tub that you're looking to cover and hide and put something nicer on, that does take care of that. And they usually put a piece of acrylic on top of the existing walls. Personally, I'm not a big fan of them, as you can imagine. We actually explored and we looked into it ourselves to see if it's something that we should market, and we decided not to after working with it and spending a lot of time with it. Because my feeling is that you're covering up something that's not good. You're covering up old walls, old grout, possible issues and so on, plumbing that you have no access to by just covering it up. So it's a very short-term approach.
And I think it's fair to say, you know, years ago when I remember when we played around with a little bit, it tended to be something with a lot more warranty. And, you know, from the school I come from, I'd rather rip it out completely, know what I'm working with, start from scratch, be able to put a mud floor in, check if there's any rotted wood, re-insulate the walls properly, make sure the electric is correct, and give people the colors and the styles that they want rather than, like you said, do a Band-Aid. So, great. I appreciate that, Ron, and I really do appreciate you coming back in the show. You did make me a promise. You're going to come back for Universal Design. Right.
I'm here whenever you need me, Sal.
What else can we get you back for? Maybe we'll do a little something on system built, you know, module construction. I know that's another area that you have a lot of expertise on.
Very passionate about it. I'd love to talk about it.
All right, that's great. Well, thank you, Ron, for coming on. And we appreciate any time you have any interest in the show, calling us up, 631-292-9108, or go to WHLI.com, click on Home on Long Island. Well, now we're going to go to our energy tip of the week. And, you know, I got a little quick one before with the we were talking about something. I gave you an energy tip. Another one today is when you're shopping for windows, look for the NFR rating. Okay, the NFR is the National Fenestration Rating Council label. It basically means that whatever the manufacturer is promising about that window, it's certified by the National Fenestration Rating Council. Very important. A lot of manufacturer of windows. You want to know that the window you're getting and the promises the window is that's being made about the window is certified. So what do you think, Seth? Good show today?
Great show. Great to have Ronnie back. Another great job. Thanks for some good info out there. I think you helped out a lot of people.
You keep tapping me in the back. Obviously, you have some information about this extreme makeover you wanted to share with
everybody. Yeah, we did give the address to everybody before. I did just want to give them the rest of the information, and we'll read it out to you over the air so you can have it. To be eligible for the extreme makeover, a family must own their own single-family home and be able to show producers how a makeover will make a difference in their lives. Family should email a short description of the story to castlongisland@gmail.com. Nominations may be submitted by the family or a member of the community. Each nomination must include the names and ages of every member of the household, along with a description of the major challenges within the home. Anyone submitting a nomination should be sure to explain why the nominated family is deserving or a role model for their community. All nominations must include a contact phone number, and the deadline is March 15th. They are looking to come out to Long Island, so get those nominations in by March 15th.
Like we said, we think it's a great thing that they're looking to come out here and help a family. And I think the key part is it's all about a home, you know, turning a house into a home for somebody where it's going to make a difference in their lives. Appreciate you listening to our show this week. Hope to hear you next week back here on Home on Long Island, 1100 WHLI. Have a great weekend.
Home on Long Island.